IT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and I want to commence reading at verse 7. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning." Verse 8 says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." Verse 9, "He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." Verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to ask the question, do you really love the brethren? Do you really love the brethren? First of all, this word brethren is inclusive of brothers and sisters. It is the body collectively. It is John who's speaking here, and in a fatherly tone, he's dealing with the reality of understanding who we are and whose we are, and in the light of that, how we ought to operate as relates to our relationship, listen, not just with God, but our relationship with man. See, one of the true discerners of your real love for God is how you treat your brother and your sister. See, we say we love the Lord, but not many people are truly there daily to constantly watch and monitor how you operate and act as relates to God. But what it really shows when you operate with men and women, especially those who are of the household of faith, when you operate in a godly vein, in other words, when the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth dwelleth in you, then it is also extended to brothers and sisters of the faith, all mankind, but especially the brethren. When it says brethren, again, it is exclusive to the body of Christ. Understanding that, if you don't treat nobody right, it ought to at least be your brothers and sisters. And I think that there are many churches who deal with this issue of believers who profess to be children of the Most High God, but have issues whereby they literally hate their brothers and sisters. They look at a brother and sister and makes, you know, them literally upset, become unraveled, they become shaken, blood boils and thickens, get hot under the collar, make their stomach turn. I mean, just get literally all discombobulated, however they say that. It just pulls you from all the inside of your goodness and just makes you sick. Now, here's one problem God has with that, because he says, if your brother or sister has done you something, go to him. Go to her. See, the reason why we don't want to go to them is because of the hatred that lives underneath the skin, not the love, because listen to this. There are a lot of things we may hate that we do and others do, but the hatred should not be extended to the person, the personality. Yeah, the problems, yeah, I hate the problems, but I don't hate the person. And listen, if you really hate the problem and you love the person, you would deal with it from that vein. And so listen to what he says. Again, let's start in verse 7, because we talk about the command to love is described here. It's in verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 deals with the oldness. Let's deal with this verse. He says, brethren, talking again, brothers and sisters of the faith, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from when? From the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from when? Okay, so he's making clear, listen, let's be totally clear and focused on this fact. What I'm telling you has not just begun today. This ain't no new message. This is no new concept. This is no new revelation. It's been about love from the beginning, and it's about love right now. And here he's making clear again to the household of faith, to the brothers and sisters, there is something wrong with the body of Christ when they cannot exhibit the love they claim they have from God to man. See, listen, what comes to you ought to go through you. But the problem is, you say it's coming to you, but if it ain't going through you, somebody's lying. Listen, there is not one person in the body of Christ who can say, I'm perfect and sinless, have no issues, and I am walking 100% in the word, the will, and the way of God. So if not one person can say that, then why can't any person hate anybody else? We've got our issues. We've got our shortcomings. Mine might not be like yours. Yours might not be like mine. But here's what must be true amongst all of us. The same love that I have that comes from God should be the same love that you have that comes from God. And when, listen, we operate in that love, then that love should be able to bring us to a point of meeting, a point of understanding, a point of getting along, a point of being able to help one another, a point of being able to pray for one another, a point where we demonstrate a love that's greater than our own. And so he says, brethren, listen, I'm dealing with the old first. This ain't nothing new. This is not the first time you've heard love your brother, love your sister. This is not the first time. Jesus has said when he was walking on planet Earth, listen, this command I leave with you, that you love one another as I have loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting. You see, the haters don't want to hear about love. Because there is something about hatred that gives them a sense of control, a sense of being in the forefront with having authority over a situation. But that's fake, that's false, that is certainly not founded. Here is the truth. When you hate somebody, God has already counted you as a murderer. Now listen, it don't matter what man thinks about you. I said when you counted you as a murderer. Because here's what a hater do. A hater doesn't care. A hater will kill your reputation. A hater will kill your desires, your visions, your dreams. A hater will mess up your day every time he or she gets a chance to. A hater will do everything that they can to literally murder the life that is in you. And so you need to realize that God hates haters. Y'all didn't hear what I said, did you? I said God hates That's why you ain't got to hate haters, because God's already got something for the hater. You ought to love the hater and try and get the hater to change, because if he or she does not change, they're going to the same place that was designed for Satan and his fallen angels. Okay, so he deals with verse 7 and the oldness. Let's move on to verse 8 with the newness now, because verse 8 says this. And there are two spheres here which we deal with in the old commandment, and it is new. He deals with this, he says in verse 8, again. So by the virtue of the word again, he's saying this new commandment isn't the first time I've told you about that. He says, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. The first deals with the newness is true in him, that is in Christ. When he talks about the newness is true in him, it's talking about that true light that is in Christ Jesus. But then it talks about the second fear, which is in you, in the old commandment is not new, but it is new, listen, in you. Now the word is not new, but if you have been translated from, if you have passed from darkness into light, it becomes new to you. It's like when you buy an old car. It's an old car, but it's new to you. Are you hearing me here? You're not the first owner, you're not the new owner, but because it is new to you, it's new. And so it is, this word is not new, but if you practice it, embrace it, it is new to you. I dare any hater to accept love. And there are just some new things you're going to start doing. New ways you're going to start feeling. New action, new attitude, new activities that you're going to experience. Why? Because it is new to you. When it is new to you, you see things differently. The blues are bluer, the greens are greener, the light is brighter. When it's new to you, there's just something about the way you experience it. It feels different to you. It ain't new, but when it's new to you, you got a little more spring in your step. When it's new to you, smiles are brighter and larger. When it's new to you, you think different. You talk different. You act different. Man, when love comes on the inside of you, especially God's love, it starts recreating all of those old things in you. And hatred starts to melt away. And love becomes strong and founded. And it becomes the controlling factor in your life. Not feelings and emotions, but the spirit of love, the spirit of God that lives in you becomes the thing that controls you now. Look at this, because I want you to see something. That's the command to love in verse 7 and 8 that's described. But let's look at the test of love that is applied, because I want you to see this. Love has the capacity to reveal character, and it really does. And I want us to see this. Verse 9 and 8, and 11 deals with the man who hates. And there are three things I need you to consider about the man who hates. First of all, his claim and his conduct and his character is revealed in these verses. Let's go to verse 9 and see what it says. It says, he that saith he is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. So he's saying everyone that confesses does not necessarily possess what he or she is saying. Possession is the revealer of character, not confession. See, how many times have we said some things that we hoped would be true but we knew weren't true? We've confessed them. We've confessed them about our own selves. And we said it as if it were so, but it was not so. But what is the revealer of what is always the possession of. So if the possession does not really show itself, what you say doesn't really matter a whole lot. Because we can talk the talk and not walk the walk. All of us have been guilty of that in some area of our lives. And so the truth of the matter is, John says, he that saith he is in the light. Almost every believer in the house of God, no matter what local fellowship you fellowship, will confess that they are in the Lord. They love the Lord. They're walking in the light. They'll say it with their mouths. But what do the reality of their possession, their walk, their demonstration show? What is the reality of that? See, just to say I love the Lord, just to say I love my brothers or my sisters, does not give to us the fullness of operating in what we say until we actually operate in it based on the power, listen at this, of love that is in us. Let me throw out a helpful holy hint. You can't do it on your own. Because you're made of flesh and blood. You have a spirit on the inside of you, but unless you are yielded to that spirit, the flesh and blood element are strong. It's in the natural realm. We operate in the natural realm. Faith is the one that activates and motivates the spiritual part in us. If we do not yield, if we do not feed the spiritual man, then the natural man will take over. The natural man will bring you to church, but the spiritual man will have church. How many folk know you know that come to church that don't have church? They sit on the pews. They look at you like you're crazy. They chew their gum. They write their notes. They spend their time in church like they're spending their time in prison, and they're glad, can't wait till service is over to go do what they plan to do. They're in church, but they aren't in the spirit of fellowship. They look at brothers and sisters and hate them without a cause. They treat one another as if we are enemies and not brothers and sisters of the faith in church. And I'm not just talking about in the pews. I'm talking about in the pulpit, in the deacon stand, deaconess stand, in the choir stand. I'm talking about all over. I'm talking about people who have the appearance of having the love, speaking the love, but have issues with brothers and sisters. Listen, and whenever you have issues with somebody and you won't go to that somebody, the issue is not with somebody. The issue is with... Talk to me, somebody. The issue is with you. But some of us have a holier than thou persona, like they're all of that. Notice what the word says. Let's deal with the man who hates. Verse 9. His claim is he is in the light. Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light. That's his claim. But look at his conduct. The Bible says he that saith he is in the light, his claim, and hateth his brother, that's his conduct, is in darkness. Listen at this. He is in darkness even until now. Yeah, you belong to the church. You've joined and perhaps have even been baptized. You're connected by way of membership to the church. Your name is on the roll. You might participate in some ministry. But here is the truth. You're still walking in darkness. Evil is still prevailing on the inside. Your carnality is still in full bloom. In other words, the only thing that has changed is your perception. But your possession is different from your profession. In other words, it's like the old folk, you went down a dry devil and came up a wet devil. That's the only difference there. You're still acting like your old father, Satan. You still got his ways. You act like him. You talk like him. You treat people like him. You are no difference, but you've got Christian in front of your name now. You are now brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, but still acting like a so-and-so. You ain't got to say, man, I know I'm right about it. But we sing, I really love the Lord. I really love. You don't know what he's done for me. Well, what has he done for you? Because it don't look like there's no change in your life. That doesn't look like that you have really been brought from darkness into light. The word says that you are still in darkness now with reverend in front of your name. You're still in darkness now with deacon in front of your name. You're still in darkness now with deaconess in front of your name. You're still in darkness now with brother or sister in front of your name. And he's saying there's something wrong with this picture. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Do you really love the brethren? Because there may be some things you don't like about me. But the record is you ought to love me. And if you love me, you ought to pray about my issues, my weakness, my if you got a helpful holy hint as to be able to help me transition from where I am to where I ought to be, you, if you love me. You ought not want to see me stumble. You ought not set up no pitfalls for me. You ought not scandalize my name. You ought not talk about me if you love me. You ought not connive and cut me if you love me. And you have the love of God on the inside. Because here's what the Lord wants you to realize. The way that you feel about me really says more about how you feel about him. Because here's the truth. If you don't love me, tell your neighbor, you don't really love the Lord if you don't love me. Come on. That you might be sitting next to somebody who's hating on you. Tell them, if you don't really love me, you don't really love the Lord. Because the Lord loved me so much, he gave his only begotten son. If you wouldn't have got saved and I was the only one who got saved, he still would have given his son for me. That's how much he loves me. So if you don't love me, Lord, you don't really love him like you say you do. Look at this, my brothers and sisters. The man who hates. Look at his existence. Look at his existence. The man who hates. Look at his existence. The record is he's in the darkness. In the darkness. And darkness begets darkness. And if darkness is on the inside of you, it causes you to slip into darkness. Dark activities, actions, thoughts, processes, all of this, again, is a part of you. Listen, you're in church, but you're still in darkness, sitting in the church, plotting and planning. Listen, the existence is he's in the darkness. You're looking at a brother or sister in an ungodly way in the church. I've had some reports of brothers looking at, talking, approaching the sisters like they're in a club in the church. Something's wrong if you can't come to church and worship without somebody trying to hook up with you. I'm here to worship and to praise the Lord. You checking me out. This ain't no whole house. Let's be clear about that. This is God's house. You don't come here to hook up. You come here to pray up, get yourself together, and say, God, I come to worship and to lift you up. It ain't about nobody else. You come here with a mind to serve and to worship God. And I want you to know that when you come with the right motive and the right mind, that it is your responsibility to make whoever is out of order and acting out of order know, listen, you shouldn't be here with that frame of mind. Listen, God, you better, oh Lord, help me somebody. Don't let nobody mess your praise up. Because everybody that's in the church is not in the light. Not in the light. In darkness. And so they ought to be able to see the light in you. And if they don't see it, then you make sure you tell them so that they'll know there's no mistake about it. I am here for the Lord and nobody else. Don't talk to me now. This is not talk time. This is fellowship with God time. This is worship time. This is praise time. Don't pass no notes to me. Don't text me. This is God's time. Ain't nothing you got to say more important than what God has to say. If it can't wait, then forget about it. I don't need to hear it. You need to put the people on the side of you in place. Help them out if you love them.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit david.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick's.
Well, God bless you and welcome to another Master Key Faith Building Program. Well, this is your friend and your apostle of prayer, Apostle James Brodnick's. Yes, I believe that the strongest action that any person can take in any situation is to pray. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 that men are to always to pray and not to faint. Well, there is an indication here that if the child of God is not praying, they are going to faint. What does it mean for a child of God to faint? Well, in the spiritual realm, it means this. You lose